I'm going to invite you to join me in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15. This is the last of four messages on the subject of living by principle. Living by principle. We began with the anatomy of a principle. What is it? What's not a principle? What are the differences between a principle and a precept? And what are the hallmarks of a good and trustworthy principle? The absence of principles. Are they that important? What happens when principles aren't utilized? And by the way, the answer to that question, you can see just by watching the news. Our society is a society that has stopped living by principles. What's the long-term impact? The assembly of a principle. How do I form a worthwhile biblical principle? Is there a proper order to doing so, and so forth? But then tonight, the application of principles. And we use these four questions to kind of give us a bit of an outline. Is there a right time for principles? Do principles ever cause more harm than good? Is there ever a time to abandon a principle? What are the hallmarks of a sound, well-applied principle? I've been taught this my whole life, and I found it to be so, that there is a right and a wrong way to do everything. And if we're going to really gain from this part of the study, we need to be reminded about what a principle is. A principle is when you take two or more Bible precepts. Now, what's a precept? A precept is something in the Bible that is clearly thou shalt or thou shalt not. It's a command, either to the positive or to the negative. It is clearly, there's no room for debate. God says do this or God says don't do this. Okay. A principle is two or more Bible precepts joined together to help guide a Christian in a decision or a way of life. You see, the reality of it is not everything that we're going to encounter in life is listed in a precept in Scripture. The Bible's not going to tell you specifically what college to attend. The Bible's not specifically going to tell you who to marry. Now, the Bible will give precepts that tell you who not to marry. For instance, if she's already married, you can't marry her. But the Bible's not going to say, thou shalt marry this person, that person, this person, that person. It doesn't work that way. If the Bible had a precept for every situation we're going to encounter in life, no building that I know of could hold it. And so God gives us principles. And so with that in mind, we want to talk about the application of a principle. Father, would you help us tonight? Help me. There's a lot of material here, a lot of information. Help me to sort through it in the way that most pleases you. And God, just to speak to our hearts. Forgive me where I fail you, Lord, and use me in spite of myself, I pray. Again, Lord, this afternoon I tried to spend some time in your word and I didn't utilize it as well as I could have. I confess that. But I sure do want you to use me tonight. Help me, Lord, I pray. If there's one listening or watching that's not saved, I pray they trust Christ. And Lord, may Jesus be lifted up. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. A principle. Two or more Bible precepts joined together to help guide a Christian in a decision or a way of life. Let me make a distinction here. A principle is Bible-based, not just Bible-laced. If it's Bible-laced, it's not a principle. It may be helpful, but it's not a principle. A principle is based on precepts from the Word of God. We got to be careful. We can't just take everything we want to do and kind of dust a little scripture on it and say it's a principle. That's not a proper application of principles. So we have these questions. Let's start answering these questions, okay? We begin, first of all, with the timing of principles. Is there a right time for principles? If a principle is Bible-based, there is never a wrong time to use that principle. If it's truly based on the precepts of the Word of God, there is never a time that it's wrong to use your principles. Be reminded, we learned this earlier, a principle that gives way due to lack of influence or agreeable circumstances is not really a principle, it's only a preference. If your principles can be cast aside every time it gets a little hard to do them, they're not principles to begin with, they're just preferences. If a principle is not Bible-based but is only Bible-laced, then it's not a true principle, and thus there can be occasions that it is poorly timed. It comes down to what hills are you prepared to die on? I'll give an example. I know of families, and we try to do this. It's important to us that our kids have dinner with us at night. Now, right now, it's not a big deal because my daughter and son, either one, are old enough to be gone anywhere at dinner time. So it's not really a tough thing. But there will come a time when they're older that we're going to try and establish this custom, I don't want to say principle because it's not. But we establish this custom that all things being equal, you plan on having dinner with your family. I think we've lost a lot by not having family dinner tables. Now, what happens if I elevate that to the level of a principle? I mean, I've got a little bit of Bible dusting to put on it. I mean, the Bible's all about the family, and the Bible's all about, you know, teaching your children when you get up, when you sit down, when you eat. So you got a little bit of Bible to dust on it, but is it enough to say that it is a biblical principle that we always eat dinner together? I don't think it is. But let's say you take that position. Well, our principle in our family is you're going to be at the dinner table 6 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through. Okay. Can I say something? There's going to come a point that you have to decide whether or not that's worth the resentment that you're going to get back from it. Well, Dad, there's a youth activity the church, and by the way, I've heard of families doing this. There's a youth activity the church is having. It starts at 6. I'd like to go. Nope. We have dinner at 6 o'clock. All of a sudden, that principle, which really isn't a principle, doesn't really seem like it's that well-timed, does it? Nah. So principles themselves can never be poorly timed, but a principle that is really only Bible-laced, it's not really a principle to begin with, and there can be occasions that it's poorly timed. The timing of principles. Then it brings us to our second question, which we'll call the trouble with principles. If you have principles, go ahead and accept that there's going to be trouble. You see, if having principles was an easy endeavor, everybody'd have them. It's a lot easier, at least in the onset, it seems a lot easier to not have principles than it does to have them. But if you have principles, you're going to have trouble. Now, what we want to find out amidst that trouble is it ever a case of the principle doing more harm than good? Now, listen closely to what I'm about to say, lest you call me a heretic. The presence and use of principles in itself does not cause harm, but the misapplication of a principle can cause all kinds of harm. The best way I could illustrate that is you can have a really great tool and use it for the wrong job and do all kinds of damage. One Christmas or birthday, I forget what it was, my wife bought me a high-dollar, nice framing hammer. It's a good tool. It's a solid tool. It will last and last and last. And for what it is meant to do, it is a tremendous, tremendous implement. But if My daughter comes to me and says, Dad, I've got a splinter. That framing hammer is not the right tool. And if I use it the way it's meant to be used on my daughter's splinter, I'm going to cause all kinds of damage and very likely go to jail. There's people that have good principles, but they misapply them, and it causes trouble. And when that happens, they sometimes can do more harm than good. So when can the misapplication of a principle do more harm than good? Number one, when it is applied incompetently. When it is applied incompetently. The fact is, there are some principles that people hold that just do not truly reflect Bible principle. And the reason that they hold to these principles and call these principles and say that it holds to Bible precept, it's not because they're bad people. It comes down to they just don't know their Bible. They're incompetent. They're ignorant of what the Bible actually says. By the way, if you don't know your Bible, your kids will pick that out in a hurry. Even if they don't know the Bible either, they'll be able to tell if mom and dad are faking it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why would that workman be ashamed if he fails to live up to the last part of that verse? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So what would be an illustration of that? We have a principle in our family that we don't eat pork. And we have a biblical precept for that. Okay, what's your biblical precept? All through the Old Testament, God's people were forbidden from eating pork. That reveals an ignorance of Scripture. Because if you understood what God told Peter, pork's on the menu, y'all. Now, if you choose not to eat pork because you think it has a particular health benefit to do so, that's fine, but don't say it's a biblical precept. That reveals that you don't know the Bible. If you hold back from eating ham and bacon and all of that because it's not heart healthy, fine. But you can't say it's biblically wrong because that reveals a certain incompetence. Principles can have problems when they're implied incompetently, and then number two, when they are applied inconsistently. I'm not saying I do right now, but over the course of 14 years of pastoring, I've counseled quite a few couples, quite a few sets of parents. And I got to tell you, if I'm doing some quick math in my head, well more than half, one of their main issues is inconsistency. You know what I found, especially with kids? Kids can get behind just about anything if they see it done consistently. But when inconsistency comes in, you got problems. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If there's inconsistency in any area, there will soon be inconsistency in every area. When you have principles, but you don't always live by them. Perhaps you live by them when they're convenient. Perhaps you live by them when they're easy. Perhaps you live by them when other people are looking. It's inconsistent. My father's in heaven now. I don't believe he'd mind me using him as an example. My dad was predictable in some things. And as a kid, I dreaded revival meetings. And here's why I dreaded revival meetings. Because every revival meeting we went to, my dad would get right with God about something. You say, why in the world are you against that? Because when my dad got right with God about things, it always cost me. And over and again, I can remember Dad coming home from a revival meeting saying, that's it! We're throwing that TV out the door. Well, when you're a little kid that likes watching cartoons, you don't really want to see the TV go out the door. Well, the first time it happens, okay, we're going to get behind Dad, until a little while later, there's just one thing he wants to see. It's a ball game. Ball games are okay. So the TV comes back in. But right back out it goes. You know. And after a while, that TV doesn't get moved again. And then we're all back to watching TV again. Then comes the next revival meeting. Then it's back out the door. You see the inconsistency? Principles that are applied inconsistently can do more harm than good. All right, now listen closely to this next one. This is a great word that doesn't get used quite as much as it should. Principles can be a problem when they are applied incongruently. Incongruently means they don't mesh, they don't fit together. If you've got a principle that you apply in one area of your life that seems to contradict or not fit in with a principle in another area of your life, that causes confusion. And they start working against each other. Here's a good example. If in my family I have principles for how my wife and daughter should dress, but I don't have the same principles for how I and my son should dress, that's an incongruency. Now, obviously, we don't dress the same, but the same principles should apply. What are those principles? Modesty, distinction, appropriateness, and not being a stumbling block. If that applies to the ladies and not to the men, then there's an incongruency there. Things should fit together. Second Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It all works together. It all works together to fully equip a man or a woman of God. For this next one, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 23. Principles can bring you trouble when they're applied incompetently or inconsistently or incongruently, or when they are applied insubordinately. Now, what do I mean by insubordinately? Now, follow me on this. Some principles are more important than other principles. Wait a minute, Andy. If it's a Bible principle, doesn't that make it all equally important? No. It doesn't. Now follow me on this. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now listen closely. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to tithe. He's not saying it's wrong to do these other things, but he's saying, but you've done that to the exclusion of the more important things. That's what I read. Is that what you read? Can I just really burn it down to its essence? The most important thing that we do is the gospel. And if my principles keep people from hearing the gospel, then my principles are being insubordinate. I got to get off social media. I've got to. If there's a way I could go back in time and never get a Facebook profile, I would do it. But now so much of our ministry is tied into it, and it's just a necessary evil in life. But man, I wish I could go back. Because let me tell you what I see. I see preachers that I know, some that I've been in the same room with, get behind their pulpits, and they advance all these principles that are all about them and all about their ministry and all about what they want, and they do that to the exclusion of the gospel. And that's insubordinate. And when my principles keep people from getting saved, then my principles are insubordinate. They're doing more harm than good. Principles can do more harm than good when they're applied incompetently, inconsistently, incongruently, insubordinately. Number five, incorrectly. Now, what do I mean by incorrectly? They're applied for the wrong reasons. Moms, dads, anybody in a leadership position, ask yourself this question: why do I have this principle? What's it here for? Every summer, Brother Davies and I do this. We rehash the handbook. And we take things that we encountered the year before. And we talk to the teachers and all. It's been a little bit different this summer because of COVID. But we try to get their input. And we try to see if there's any adjustments that need to be made. If a rule is there, why is it there? If a principle is listed, why is it there? Are we incorrect? Because the handbook of Granite Christian Academy, well, it's a good handbook. It's not inspired. Only one book's inspired. Why would we apply principles for the wrong reasons, incorrectly? Well, it harkens back to what we talked about earlier in the series. Maybe we do it because we're going off of our experience. Well, my experience tells me to do it this way. Well, experience can be helpful, but it's not to the level of a precept. Well, this is the example that I've seen in others. Okay, that might be helpful for them, but that doesn't mean it works for you. Maybe we're doing it because of ease. I have this principle in place, frankly, because it makes my life easier. These are incorrect applications of principle. I want to remind you of this. Perhaps you'll remember this. Principles are about pleasing God, not making our lives easier. Why do we do what we do? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's why we do what we do. That's the only reason we do what we do. Principles can cause you trouble when they're applied incompetently, inconsistently, incongruently, insubordinately, incorrectly, and then finally, when they are applied inauthentically. Join me, if you will, in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. When they are applied inauthentically. When the Bible talks about a word in this context, we assume that word to be true. We assume that word to be either the Bible itself or based on the Bible. We assume it to be accurate. And we do so in Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word, and you could just as easily talk about a precept or a principle there. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You know, I've struggled with that phrase, apples of gold and pictures of silver. I ran across one commentary that said something I'd never heard before. They said that it's pretty common in the Middle East, particularly in those days, an apple of gold was an orange. They called oranges apples of gold. If that's the case, I can get behind that. I like oranges better than I do apples. And they said the pictures of silver was the framing of an almost silver-like blossom around it. I don't know if that's what it means or not, but would you agree with me? Whatever it means, it's a beautiful setting. It's a beautiful thing. If you'd like to give me apples of gold and pictures of silver, I'll take that. If you'd like to give me an orange and a nice little, I'd take that too. What does it mean, a word fitly spoken? I love Hebrew. Hebrew is so picturesque, and Hebrew gives us a whole lot of wiggle room for application. A word fitly spoken, literally in the Hebrew, means a word on the wheels. Does that help you? A word on the wheels. What in the world does that mean? Well, periodically, we move this table for different things. When Greater Vision comes, we'll move this furniture and make sure they have all the room that they need. Now, there's a couple ways you can move this table. There have been times that it's just been one of us in here and we drag it. It gets the job done, but it's not the best way to do it. Now, also, sometimes you get another person and you'll pick it up and you'll move it. But when you do that, it's this business. That's a little better than dragging it, but it's still very forced, very unpleasant looking. But we have a couple of little carts around here, little furniture dollies, that if we feel so inclined, we take it and we put them on those, and they have wheels on them. And it makes that thing move really, really smooth. It's a lot easier. Well, what they're saying here is a word fitly spoken. It means it's smooth. It's believable. It's not forced. It's not, you're not saying the right thing, but it's obvious you're not very good at it. I mean, it's on the wheels. It just moves smoothly. A principle in your life should be something very smooth. It should not appear to be forced. Let me illustrate it this way. As a pastor, I've visited many homes, and many times it's at the invitation of the person in the home. And I've seen this a lot. I'm going to go back to my salvation chair right here. Not because we're talking about salvation, but because I'm hurting. My back and my hamstring are giving me fits. So here I am. I'm sitting at somebody's table. Or I'm sitting on their couch. And anybody that's ever pastored or visited on behalf of a church has been in these kind of situations. You walk in and you notice the big family Bible's on the coffee table. There's the absence of any kind of movie, DVD or Blu-ray anywhere. Everything is clean and spotless. And the conversation is just really, really spiritual. And I remember that I was in one situation like this, and it was interesting. The meeting even broke into song. And I found out that it was forced. It was inauthentic. Do you know how you know something like that is inauthentic? Watch the kids. The kids give it away every time. All right, preacher's coming over now. Don't you talk about that movie we watched last night. Preacher's coming over. Hey, Sally, go put that skirt on. Preacher's coming over. Make sure the Bible's dusted off. This one particular instance that I knew it was so forced, here's how I knew. When it was suggested that we sing, one of the family members went, you know what that told me? This is not common practice. If your principles are inauthentic, if you are trying to force a principle into your life just because we're going to have principles, and it's not smooth, it's not fitly spoken, does that make any sense? If it's not natural, it's not going to be effective. My kids are not going to benefit from the principles that I put into our lives if it's not natural. When they leave my home, I want them to be able to look back and say, well, yeah, we've always done that, because that's not just what mom and dad do. That's who they are. And when it's inauthentic, it's trouble. So we see in the application of principles, the timing of principles. And we see the trouble with principles. Then we see there's a term of principles. Now, what do I mean by a term? A term is a set amount of time. The president of the United States serves a term of 4 years, and then he's reelected. And then, you know, he's not reelected or what have you. But the term is 4 years. It's interesting, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the governor can only serve one elected term at a time, and then he has to be gone at least for 4 years. So Governor Northam, once his 4 years are up, he can't run for another term. okay? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I respect him, I pray for him, I do. I've disagreed with just about everything he's done as our governor. Lord, please forgive me, that was silly. Principles have a term too. There is some situations in which a principal's term is up. Number one, when there are changes in awareness. Now, what do I mean by awareness? Have you ever been studying the Bible and learned something that you were not previously aware of? If that's never happened to you, then you're not studying the Bible. A principle may have to end because there is a change in awareness. We're answering the question, is there ever a time to abandon a principle? Now, I'm about to say something that's going to make old-time fundamentalists really nervous right now. You ready? And by the way, I don't say that disparagingly. I'm an old-time fundamentalist. But you know what I've learned? Sometimes your theology changes. Not me. I'm the same. I believe the same I did as when I got saved. Then you're not studying the Word of God. Because if you study the Word of God and you do so intently and you do so being Spirit-led, it will change your mind about some things. Sometimes our theology changes, and thus will our principles change. Because our principles are based on our theology. I can prove this. John 14:26, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." If the Holy Ghost has to teach me, then that means that before that, there's some things I didn't know. If I already know everything, the Holy Ghost doesn't need to teach me. Now, since I've been saved and since I've been studying God's Word, have I changed my views on the fundamentals of the faith? I have not. I have not. But are there issues beneath that that I've changed on over the years? Yes. And it doesn't make me a compromiser. It doesn't make me a liberal. It doesn't make me a new evangelical. It makes me a student of the Word of God. And if you've been studying God's Word for years and years and years, and you've never changed on anything, then you haven't been studying God's Word. Because God's Word changes us. And sometimes when I see the Bible differently, when God reveals something to me that I've been wrong about, and yes, sometimes we're wrong about things, when that happens, sometimes that means I look at a principle that was based on that wrong understanding, and I say, okay, that has to go. Its term is up. Peter had a principle. I've never eaten anything common. And then God changed his awareness. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter understood the value of bacon. But more than that, and on a much bigger scale, he understood that Jesus came and salvation is for everyone, not just the Jews. And it changed his principles. Sometimes our principles change because of awareness, and sometimes they change because of a change in authority. I have a daughter, precious daughter, and I love her with all my heart. I've told you that we have a principle that we operate under, and we believe that it's based on precept. It works for us. You don't have to do it. But we have a rule in our house, and it's going to be as true for Asher as it is for Claire. When you go into your bedroom, you're allowed to shut the door, but you're not allowed to lock the door. That's something we use in our home. There will come a day that I can't enforce that anymore. When my daughter, if Jesus doesn't come back first, and man, I hope he does, but when my daughter gets married, when I walk her down the aisle and the preacher says, who gives this woman to this man? It's not just a line that I'm supposed to use. What I am saying, when I say her mother and I am saying that I am ceding authority over this woman from me and her mother to this young man. When Joel White handed the hand of Crystal White, then Crystal White, and put it into mine and said, her mother and I, what he was doing is he was transferring authority from him to me. Now, I'm looking forward to the day when my wife allows me to use some of that authority. But until then, but you see the point? Once that happens, it stops being about my principles and starts being about their principles. And so if I go to visit them at their home, and I walk over to a door, and I jiggle the handle and it's locked, I can't say, hey, young lady, you know the rule. I don't have that authority. I don't have that authority anymore. And sometimes principles go out of term because authority has changed. Sometimes a principle's term ends because of changes in awareness, changes in authority, and sometimes it's changes in appropriateness. Some principles are designed for distinct seasons. Proverbs 15:23. You're in Proverbs already, I think. Let's go to Proverbs 15:23. Proverbs 15, verse 23. This was our initial verse when we first started. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? What he's telling us is there's a good word, but there's also a right season. And remember how we told you can have a good tool, but if they use it in the wrong way and it can cause damage? You can have a good tool, a good word, and have it in the wrong season. And sometimes those seasons change. Some principles are designed for distinct seasons. For instance, a principle for a child does not always translate to a principle for adulthood. I think the Bible gives us enough common sense to understand that as our kids get older, the way that we approach discipline changes. I heard of a man that, and I have no reason to disbelieve the person that told me this, I heard of a man, his daughter was, I think, 20. It was her wedding day. And her dad said something to her as she was getting ready. And he didn't like what she said. And he said, I've not yet transferred authority to your soon-to-be husband. You're still under my authority. And I'm going to deal with this as such. And he applied corporal punishment to his 20-year-old daughter on her wedding day. Can I just tell you, that's foolish. I don't believe that's scriptural at all. I believe it was inappropriate, and I believe it was out of season. I think God gives us some common sense, and he gives us some guidance from the Word of God, and he gives us some guidance from the Holy Spirit to understand there are some principles that as seasons change, those principles change. The Bible doesn't change, but the way we apply it changes. The things that we have in place that we deal with little kids here at Granite, we deal with little kids a lot differently than we deal with a junior or senior in high school. It doesn't mean the Bible has changed. It means the season has changed. See? Principles can have terms, And those terms can be up when there's changes in awareness and changes in authority and changes in appropriateness. So let's finish this thing up. We're talking about the application of principles, the timing of principles. Is there a right time for principles? The trouble with principles, do they ever cause more harm than good? The term of principles, is there ever a time to abandon a principle? But then finally, what are the traits of sound biblical principles? How do I recognize if a principle is sound, if a principle is biblical? Well, I'll give you a spoiler. You go back to letter B, the trouble with principles, and you just reverse it. You just reverse it. We said one of the troubles with principles is when it's applied incompetently, so a sound principle would be scripturally competent. It would reflect a competent understanding of the Word of God. A sound principle, instead of being applied inconsistently, it would be consistent. A sound principle, instead of being incongruent, would be congruent. A sound principle, instead of being insubordinate, oh, Andy, you're using C's, what are you going to do? It'd be compliant. A sound principle, instead of being incorrect, would be correct. And a sound principle, instead of being inauthentic, would be credible. It would match. So that's the end of our study on living by principle. So what are we going to take from this? What's the so what? There's a couple of dangers. There's a couple of dangers that we can encounter if we don't have a good understanding of principle. Here's the first one. We think that if the Bible doesn't openly condemn something, then it must be okay. And it's not so. If the Bible fails to mention something, then it's just open season. That's not so. But what do we do when the Bible doesn't say thou shalt or thou shalt not for our given situation? You study the Bible and you learn its precepts, and then you try to take those precepts and stack them on one another and build a principle. You build a principle. Because where there's not a precept for every situation, there is a principle for every situation. Recently, the federal government offered the opportunity for businesses, and they included churches in this opportunity, to get loans from the government to cover their payroll. There's nothing in the Bible that specifically says thou shalt not take the federal government's offer of payroll protection. But we didn't do it. We didn't even look into it. And here's why. We had some principles in place. The borrower is servant to the lender. The last person that I want to be servant to is the government. Here's another precept we use to form our principle. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our goal is for people to look at us and say, wow, what a great God they serve. And if I'm relying on the government to pay the church's bills, that's not really accomplishing that, is it? By the way, if you're watching and you're from a church that took advantage of this, I make no judgment about that. That's between you and God. I'm just saying these are the principles that we applied to make that decision. America and the world as a whole, but America especially, is in desperate need of people that are willing to take this book and use it to live by principle. Because principled people are leaders. Principled people can be counted on. Principled people can be predicted. And that's what we need to strive to do. Is be men and women, boys and girls of scriptural principle. So when you're trying to decide who to marry, what college to go to, whether or not to take that job, whether or not to enroll in that school, whether or not to, or college or whatever, whether or not to buy that car, the Bible's not going to give you specifics on any of that. But if you have a set of principles, you can make the right decisions. The Holy Spirit will use those and guide you. And you can avoid a whole lot of heartache, a whole lot of problems. Maybe you've been listening and you don't know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. We'd love to talk with you about that. You see it on your screen now. There's a number you can call. We'll talk with you, try to be a blessing to you. You can email us, visit us through our website, what have you. We sure would love to talk to you about any spiritual need that you have. And may God help us to be men and women, boys and girls of principle. Lord willing, if Jesus hasn't come back yet, we'll be right back here on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, online only. And then if the Lord will help us, next Sunday morning, we'll be right back in here at 11 o'clock for an in-person service. And we're looking forward to that. God bless you, my friends. We love you. Thank the Lord for you. Have a great, great evening. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. Father, thank you for our time together. Help us to apply your word in precept and in principle. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.